Blog Talk Radio.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole. Dead air moments. Paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean? I don't know how long you guys got, but I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
Hey! Who wants to have some fun?
Hello?
Let me explain something about the rug.
Do you like sex, Mr. Lebowski?
Excuse me?
Sex, the physical act of love, coitus. Do you like it?
I was talking about my rug.
You're not interested in sex?
You mean coitus?
Reg, that reminds me. I was coaching in Omaha in 1948, and Eddie Shore sends me this guy that's a terrible masturbator, you know, couldn't control himself. Well, he would get deliberate penalties so he could get into the penalty box all by himself, and damned if he wouldn't, you know. What was his name?
Johnny always says you can just screw so much and drink so much.
We're men, okay? That means a few things. We like to shit with the door open. We talk about pussy. We go on riverboat gambling trips. We make our own beef jerky. That's what we do.
Can I ask you a question?
You can.
And how many times this week are we going to have to do this show before it actually goes off right?
Hopefully just the second time, which would be tonight.
I hope so, too, because the switchboard keeps going wacky. That was the problem there during the open, where we had the 10 seconds of silence, because my whole screen went black. But it is the Third Man In Radio here on this Tuesday night. Second attempt, Tuesday, August 17th, 2010. It is 7:03 here in Chicago. I'm Chris Block, writer, editor, and keeper of thethirdmanian.com. And alongside is my special co-host today, the Superstar. How are you doing tonight, Superstar?
I am well. And yourself?
Fantastic. I am at the tail end of my Las Vegas detox. I am still alive.
I was meaning to ask you before we went on how the detox was going, because you were in rare form.
You know, it's quite, I'm actually lucky I'm even here, because if it were not that for a friend of mine and ours that is a cop, I would still be at the adult pool in Las Vegas. I'd be like Vinny Chase the other week on Entourage, laying at the pool. That was what I looked like when he came and got me on that fateful afternoon.
Yeah, you did it upright. There's no doubt about that.
Why officials at McCarran Airport even allowed me on that plane, I'll never know.
I thought the same thing when I sat next to you.
Did I snore?
I don't know if you remember this, but you probably don't. As we got on the plane, you asked me, as I'm holding my iPod, if you... Superstar, you got an iPod? Yes, Block. Can I listen to it? I was like, well, I'll give you one of the ears. I'm going to listen to it, too. No, you're going to sleep. Oh. 5 minutes later. Hey, Superstar, you got an iPod? Yeah, dude, we just talked about this. Oh, okay. Hey, Superstar, you got an iPod? Yeah, dude. I think the people around us weren't too happy with the three of us sitting behind them and in front of them on that flight.
F them. I was asleep. I don't remember anything past midday on Friday. I mean, I don't have any solid memories, let me just say.
No, I figured you didn't. If you like, I don't know if you want it to be all aired now, but feel free to give me a call. I'll fill in some of the blanks for you, which were mighty humorous.
I know. Well, I've heard, I mean, it's whatever. How long was I at your bachelor party, by the way? I think I was there for about an hour and a half.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course you were the last one to arrive, which didn't shock any of us.
Yeah, I held up the limbo.
Yeah. It was about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and somebody finally came up to me and asked, where's Block? And the only answer I could give, I go, I have no idea. I have no idea where that guy's been all weekend. It was a good time for sure. You definitely, I think I put the over-under on 0.25 on your average blood alcohol level on that trip.
Well, the reason why I held up, and this was for those listening along, we're talking about Superstar's bachelor party. Superstar is getting married here inside a couple of months now. Is there actual a countdown? Is there a day? I mean, amount of days?
I know it's under 50 days. I think it's 45 or 46 days. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but October 2nd. So we're approaching about a month and a half left. So.
And for longtime listeners of the show, this is the wedding that I do not approve of. Not necessarily because of the people participating in the wedding, just because it falls inside of training camp.
Right. But I was nice enough not to schedule during the home opener or, in fact, even during any Blackhawk preseason game. One before and one day after. But the actual day of the wedding.
Yeah. If you want to be a really good friend, You'll reschedule the wedding rehearsal for Thursday so I can attend the Pittsburgh Penguins appearance during exhibition season at the United Center on that Friday night.
I'll see what I get done, but I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Well, the reason why I was I held up the whole the limo bus on that there Friday or Saturday night was because I was having a little issue with some people at the cashier's cage in the casino, and but it all got worked out. But yeah,
it was a fun time regardless. Yeah, it was definitely debauchery as only Vegas can do. And a lot of our, well, you know, Block, a lot of our group were Vegas virgins, and they weren't prepared for how bad Vegas can come back and bite you pretty hard, and some of those people found that out pretty hard Saturday night / mid-Sunday morning when their significant others decided to wake up and find out where the hell we were.
Well, it's a bachelor party. Were you supposed to go back?
I don't know. I mean, it was 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and we were supposed to check out of the hotel at 11. So
I found you at like 7 a.m.
Yeah, it was a little bit before that. We ended up having a nice conversation with a bunch of young gentlemen from Vancouver talking hockey. You know, you never think you're going to be able to talk puck at you know, 7:30 in the morning at O'Shea's in Las Vegas with a bunch of guys from Vancouver.
That dump, and I professed my love for Kevin Bieksa to the Vancouverans.
You did. You did. And I think their response was, you can take him.
I'll have him. He can be my new co-host. I don't have $3.5 million to pay him. Give me we'll turn that around.
Yeah, because I mean, if you did, I mean, I'm not nearly that expensive.
Yeah. Well, now while I was not at your bachelor party, I was at Vanity at the Hard Rock, and that turned into quite the thing. But yeah. So there were a bunch of Las Vegas virgins there, people that didn't know what the heck was going on. And then by the end of it, the fallout is still going on. Some of the people from our group are no longer with us, Superstar.
Really? Who's no longer with us? I haven't heard this.
Yeah, I'll tell you that story off the air. All right, so it is the Third Man in Radio. Big show last time we were with you. I do have to say, before we get started, I have to apologize for last week. The one day that I was available to do the show, I was booted up the show. I was all ready to roll, and then I did it from the office that night, and the computers decided to, the network decided to do a 3.5-hour rebuild just as the show was about to go on the air, so we had to cut it. And because the internet wasn't going to be fast enough to support the switchboard, so that was why there was no show last week. No show last night because something went wrong with the haywire for phone lines. So we're going to do it tonight. And luckily, Superstar was able to join us.
I pulled some strings, made it happen.
Want to again thank everybody for listening to our last show. We had John from the Fifth Feather on. It was a fantastic, action-packed hour and a half worth of discussion. And John was terrific. First time I've ever had John on the show, which is amazing, given that we've been doing this for over a year now and hadn't had those guys on. John and Bob, of course, fifthfeather.com. Check it out. And if you didn't hear last week's show, or 2 weeks ago, it was August 2nd show. It's up now on the website and also here at blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin. Also, I have to say, more website issues in the last couple of weeks. We had to switch servers, or not switch servers, we had to switch hosts due to some issues with the last one. And I do tend to have a bit of a temper, and we had to find a new host, and like on no notice. So, So we were down for a little bit, but we're back up now. I believe we're all secure and ready to go. So that's for those of you wondering why the site was periodically down for the last week or so. That's there, right there is the answer. I was hoping to announce we have a big guest lined up, but I don't know exactly. Actually, I have two. One that I know that for sure is going to happen, one that I'm trying to nail down. But obviously I don't want to, well, maybe I can. Should I jinx it?
No, you gotta wet the people's whistle a little bit, you know? Wet the beak. Let them drool over this.
Well, let's just say I hope to have this done before we came on the air tonight, but we came on an hour early tonight, so... But it's a good get, and the other one is let's just say he is an author, and he's got a book out, and we're hoping to line him up here pretty soon. So we'll see about those, and hopefully we'll be able to announce that here in a little while. Superstar, a good amount of stuff has happened in the last couple of weeks. Patrick Kane had the cup for a couple of days, got really drunk, and solicited floozies.
Well, I mean, does that really shock you at all?
he doesn't need the cup to solicit floozies. He's Patrick Kane.
No, he doesn't. I was really praying and hoping that he held onto the cup under Niagara Falls.
I just watched that this morning, actually. I'm going to say this about the whole Patrick Kane thing, and I've written things about Patrick Kane before. We went through the whole him beating up a cabbie last summer, and I had profound opinions about that, and I made some statements and wrote about him early last year. But there's one thing about Patrick Kane that's really annoying me, and it's not Patrick Kane, because he's a young kid, and think about back when you were that age, and you were just legally able to go out and run wild and do whatever you want, drink and all that kind of stuff, and then add the fame and the adulation that he gets. No one ever, no one that ever encounters Patrick Kane has a bad word to say to him. So even though he may have done some things wrong, or he may carry himself in a way that maybe he wished that he wouldn't sometimes, no one's saying anything to him, so it's not like he even knows. But I really wish his parents would just go away. I mean, honestly, it was okay the first couple of years. They were constantly around, of course, 18, 19-year-old kid in Chicago, want to ease the transition to him become a professional hockey player, and that's great. But you know what? They got other kids back home in Buffalo. Go home and take care of your kids. I'm sick and tired of seeing them all the time. I know they're proud of their son and everything, but they have other kids too. Go home and take care of those kids. Why do I always have to see Patrick Kane and Mrs. Kane, Patrick Kane Sr. and Mrs. Kane? Why do I always have to see them? Why do they have to be interviewed?
I don't have a good answer for you. They are always around.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you. But that was just off the top of my head. That was the thought that just entered my head. Also, Dustin Buffalo had the cup on Sunday. Did you see this?
I did not.
This is something that I would do if I won the cup with the Chicago Blackhawks and immediately got traded. Dustin Byfuglien on Sunday in his hometown and there in Minnesota. he posed holding up the Stanley Cup high above his head with an Atlanta Thrashers jersey on.
Awesome. I did not see that, but I could see you doing that. That's for sure.
I would request the trade to the Red Wings just so I could do it, just to aggravate people.
Well, that goes along. I think it was a while back. I think it was the Gay Pride Parade that I think Brent Sopel wrote in honor of Brian Burke's kid. And this is obviously after he was traded. He still rode in that parade with a Hawk jersey with the cup. To honor Brian Burke's kid who lost his life, I believe, in an automobile accident mere months after coming out saying that he was openly gay. But he still has a Hawk jersey on. I don't know. I haven't read anything or seen anything with the other nine or so players with their day with the cup, if they were sporting Hawk gear or not.
Versteeg did. It was classy of Brent Sopel to wear the jersey. It was, it's Chicago's Gay Pride Parade. It was just freshly traded. It was a nice thing for him to do. He didn't have to do that. The reaction online, to Byfuglien, at least that I've been forwarded and heard about, it seems to be that it's either one, it's like, oh, he's being disrespectful to the Hawks, or B, he's jinxing the Atlanta Thrashers. Now, how you would go about jinxing the Atlanta Thrashers organization, I don't know. But
it's not like the Thrashers are. I think they'll be much better. Of course, they're still not going to draw anybody. But, yeah, they're not necessarily a threat to win the cup. I don't remember their odds when we were out in Las Vegas, but it couldn't be pretty.
Yeah, but that's – so you don't care one way or another what Dustin Byfuglien wears when he puts the cup over his head?
No, it doesn't bother me. I think it would have been nice. And I think if you were Dustin Coughlin's publicist, I think it was an awful move. But, you know, he probably feels slighted. He got traded for everything he did in the playoffs. So do I expect anything different from him? No.
So you think he did it out of spite?
I do, yeah.
I would have. I absolutely would have. You know, because guess what? I mean, this is, you know, understand what you just, you know, what you just traded away and the element that he, you know, he filled here on the Blackhawks, and go back to that Vancouver series in San Jose as well.
Yeah.
You know, not only was he a big physical force, but he was an antagonist. You know, he was antagonizing fans, you know, but, you know, in the lower level. You know, he enjoyed being the bad guy. So he's gone now, and now he's antagonizing, you know, whoever would get upset about that. I don't think he's antagonizing. He's trying to get under the skin of Blackhawks fans. I think he's trying to get under the skin of people that would bother.
Right.
Get them all worked up into a shoot about something that's completely irrelevant, which is what people do on the Internet.
Of course.
Yeah. Also news, Bob Probert, and I think the last time – last time you were on, I talked a lot about Bob Probert, didn't I?
Yeah, that was, I believe, the week after, maybe 2 weeks after he had passed, and we did quite a bit about him and his life and him as a whole as a Blackhawk. But I think I know where you're going with this, so go ahead.
Oh, you do?
I think I do.
Okay. Well, Bob Probert, while he was, you know, while he was last alive, he was working on an autobiography, actually, with the woman that wrote Theo Fleury's autobiography, and a very nice woman. I've had contact with her over time as well, and had some conversations with her. She also did a very famous pro wrestling book, stemming from Owen Hart's death in the WWF, a very controversial book that tore apart that family, actually, or it was a part of tearing apart the famous Hart family in Calgary. But Bob Probert doing this autobiography and his family, you know, I guess greenlighting it now that he's, you know, it wasn't. I don't think it was completely finished, but it is due out by the end of October, I believe.
I heard, actually, I thought it was late November, but, nevertheless, it'll be, out before Christmas, I know that.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. Yeah, Kirstie McClellan Day is the author. She, like you said, she wrote, Playing with Fire, which I wrote about. Heard a lot of things about that book recently, Playing with Fire, and some of the things that were in there. But actually, may be good. I may have to go back and revisit that book and talk about it again at some point. But very interested to read this Bob Probert autobiography. You know, it better. I hope it's better than the memoir that he co-authored with Joey Kosher, because that was a piece of junk. But yeah, so look forward to. Set aside on your Christmas wish list. Maybe I'm sure we'll be giving away copies of that book. We were given, for those who haven't been with us very long, we gave away copies of Playing with Fire over the winter, and or maybe it was spring, I don't remember. I lost a lot of brain cells the last couple of weeks. I got to talk about this. Nick Boynton re-signs with the Blackhawks. Now, I got a problem with this. Nick Boynton, who basically said that he was either going to retire, well, this was the rumors going around, that he was either going to retire or he was going to re-sign with the Blackhawks. Now, if I'm Stan Bowman and I hear that, I say, go ahead and retire. Because, you know, where is the, you know, enthusiasm about playing hockey again? And basically saying, well, I'll be the sixth or the seventh defenseman on, you know, a Stanley Cup contender, but I, you know, I don't want to deal with having to, I don't like that. I mean, the Blackhawks should have spent their money more wisely in the defense department, in my opinion. And instead of signing John Scott, who's a complete waste of space, and Nick Boynton, who's a seventh defenseman, so now you basically you have two seventh defensemen, and you still have no sixth. You still don't have a replacement for Brent Sokol. Just because these options are cheaper and they work better under the salary cap doesn't mean that they're better. You could have held out for somebody like how they got Brent Sokol 3 years ago. You hold back and you wait and guys become cheaper. You get a better player for a reduced rate instead of these guys are cheap but they're no good. Nick Boynton.
Look, I didn't see the dollar figure on Boynton's contract.
Nick Boynton was $600,000. Actually $500,000.
Okay, half a million. Yeah.
I mean, for the money, of course, that's good. Okay, for a seventh defenseman, a guy that can play a little cleanup, as he did in the Stanley Cup final. But he's not Brent Sokol. Just because he's cheaper, Brent Sokol may have been overpaid, and now you got Nick Boynton who comes in at the minimum, doesn't make it better. That's one thing that is a drawback now with all of the resources available online as far as the salary cap. People get of course you have to fit under the salary cap. Of course. I mean, that's first and foremost. But you also have to be careful what you're doing under that salary cap. Years ago, the New York Rangers would spend millions of dollars and millions of dollars over what over the imaginary cap that everybody else was spending to, and the Rangers were horrible. And the Blackhawks the thing I don't understand is with the Blackhawks allowing Niemi to walk and signing Marty Turco for a very favorable number. $1.3 million. It affords you that flexibility to do something a little bit, not extravagant, but you could get a better sixth defenseman than Nick Boynton or John Scott. You have two bodies that, aren't really going to help you. And, I don't know. To me, you should have just – you already have that guy. And Nick Boynton was fine, and he didn't do anything terribly wrong, and he didn't prevent you from winning a Stanley Cup, but that doesn't mean that you want to see him playing 82 games this year.
No, you don't. And he, for what he is, I thought he played really well in the finals. And he, in my opinion, he earned the right to get that $500,000 this year just in that series. I mean, if he doesn't play well in that series, there's no way the Hawks even remotely consider offering him any money.
No, right, but see, the problem with that is you already went out and got John Scott. Now, I wouldn't have gone out and got John Scott, period. But you already went out and got John Scott. Now, if you believe in John Scott, which is the only reason why you bring him in, then you don't need Nick Boynton. Unless you've talked to Nick Boynton, and this is, I don't believe this, because if the guy was contemplating retirement, he sure as hell isn't going to accept a demotion to Rockford very well. So he obviously thinks that he's going to be playing here. So you got John Scott and Nick Boynton on the team. And there are a lot of people, Dieter Kurtenbach, who's sometime co-host here on the show, guest on the show, he doesn't like Jordan Henry. There are a lot of people that are very, get very twitchy when Nick, when Jordan Hendry and Jordan Hendry's on the ice. So, those are your five, six, and seven defensemen. Again, we get back to Brent Sokol was a lot bigger part of that championship team than anybody's really, or most anybody's really willing to admit. And now he's gone, and you haven't replaced him, and that's a huge deal. You get a shot blocker, a guy who's not afraid to get in lanes. He can be physical. He can be a little bit of a moose around the net, and that's all things that you absolutely need And I don't think that the Blackhawks have really replaced that. If you believe that Joe Quenneville can do something with John Scott, then terrific. But if that's the case, there's no place for Nick Boynton. You should spend that money on someone who, can be the seventh guy and also accept the demotion to Rockford every once in a while to save some money. And I don't think Nick Boynton's going to be that guy. So I don't understand that re-signing.
I agree. I mean, yeah, well, like you mentioned, he's cheap, so.
Before we get into this next thing, sorry, Superstar. I should announce that I am going to be on Hockey Night's Puckcast, not this coming Monday, but on August 30th, Monday night, August 30th, HockeyNight.com, their Puckcast. So look out for that. I'm sure I'm going to be ambushed with all sorts of things on that show.
As always. We won't expect anything less out of those guys.
No. After weeks and weeks and weeks of all of their California Seals and Toronto Maple Leafs and New York Islander talk, the Blackhawks site, thehockeynight.com, is finally going to get back to talking Blackhawks, and I'm the one that's got to come out and do it. And seeing as how popular I am around here, that should make for such a great show.
That's a must listen to right there.
Antoniemi. David Haugh, writer extraordinaire, got a hold of Antoniemi this past week. Did you see that article?
I did not.
Yeah, well, basically he got a couple of questions in on Antoniemi. And Antoniemi, the big story out of that article is that Antoniemi did not want to confirm what was rumored to be the offer that the Blackhawks made to him of 3 years and $8 million. Niemi wouldn't confirm that that was indeed the offer or an offer. 3 years, $8 million, that works out to be a $2.667 million cap hit. Now, of course, that's only pennies, figuratively, less than what his arbiter reward came in at, which was 2.75. Obviously, though, the big thing there was the years, and Niemi would become a UFA or. Should the Blackhawks have accepted that reward, he would have made 2.75 this year, but he would have been unrestricted free agent next summer. What were your thoughts? I mean, you think that to me that number seems real, but if that number is real, the Blackhawks had to have a backup plan as far as getting rid of another player, because as we've seen now, the number, I think the figure that they felt comfortable at was somewhere around $2 million and not much more than. I think the absolute highest that they would go on the Emmy was 2.25. And to me, I really think they were looking at two because they had this back, they had this back plan with Turco. And I don't know. Do you believe that number, 2.667 million for 3 years, or
That number seems a little high, like you mentioned, for what I think they were comfortable with. I think the big thing you mentioned is, what was their backup plan? What, who were they getting rid of
if he would have accepted that deal?
Right, if he would have accepted that deal, what was their backup plan? Obviously, it didn't come into the fold, but, it'd be interesting to find out, if he accepts that deal. Obviously, you're not spending that million on Turco. Well, who else is gone? I mean, who else is it? Obviously, it's not going to be one of your defensemen at that point. It's going to be one of your midline forwards. But, I mean, who?
Well, going back in time, when we were, leading up into the arbitration hearing, basically, I believe I had Dieter on the show that week, and we looked at what it was going to be, that what was the absolute highest number and that the Blackhawks could accept. And, you know, while I was always sort of looking at a number that was about 2.45 to 2.75, absolutely the most I thought he'd get was 2.8. So it comes in at 2.75. The Blackhawks could have made that number work or made that number fit under the cap, but two things were going to have to happen. Number one, Kyle Beach had no chance of making the team just because he made too much money. Forget about his bonus structure that he may or may not ever attain, but he was just making too much more than he was making. I think off the top of my head, I think it's $850,000. Blackhawks just couldn't afford that. So that's number one. Kyle Beach, your prospect that you need to come in and provide a little bit of size and grit, hopefully, to your team this year. He wasn't going to be able to be on the team. And two, you're probably going to have to move Thomas Kopechke for a draft pick or something else, and then move a minimum contract body in. That's basically how that shook out. But you could have kept Niemi with that. So that was the absolute minimum that they could do. But again, you would have been left with a 21-man roster, so you'd have one extra guy, you'd be right at the cap, and you'd have limited flexibility. So if the Blackhawks really did offer him that contract, it's a decent contract, and it's something that Niemi, looking back at it now, although I think the most that Niemi and his agent Bill Zito would have taken was 2 years, because as I said before, next summer is a big summer for unrestricted free agent goalies. Thomas Vokoun, Ilya Brizgalov, Craig Anderson, the Chicagoan. Those are the three big guns, and that maybe not Anderson, but the other two are going UFA. Because Brizgalov doesn't want to be in Phoenix, and Vokoun, there's no place for Vokoun in Florida after this year, unless he gets dealt somewhere that he likes and they work out an extension, which is possible, because Florida's got their goaltending situation wrapped up for the future. They got Jacob Markstrom, Mark Chevrier, Alexander Salak. They're set there. So Vokoun shouldn't make UFA. Dale Talon's going to be doing a bad job if Vokoun makes UFA. He's got to trade something and get something back for Vokoun. He can't make the mistake that they made with Jay Bouwmeester. That'll set that franchise back even further, or stunt their growth, because Talon to this point's done a pretty good job. But there's no place for Vokoun. So those are the three UFA goaltenders next summer. So Niemi doesn't want to be a UFA next summer. So he was probably looking at a 2-year deal. The Blackhawks wanted three, and they gambled and went to arbitration. It was a stupid move, as I talked about last week. It was a stupid move because after the Hawks took that offer sheet and signed it, for Jalmerson, they were basically in a situation where it was either they could keep Niemi, but they were going to have to get rid of another player. And the player that I always mention is Dave Bolin. And they obviously like Dave Bolin more than they like Antti Niemi, because that's the decision that they made. They like Dave Bolin more than they do Dustin Byfuglien. Don't shoot the messenger. But
you're right. I think it was definitely, once they went to arbitration, it was definitely an all-or-nothing sort of deal. Either they were going to get awarded a ridiculously low number that they were going to be able to meet, keep him, maybe have to move, a little money around, or it was, okay, if it's over this number, there's no way in hell we can keep him. With keeping the people that we obviously want to keep. I was asked numerous times, what I thought about this. And like I know you mentioned on the show, it's really hard to try to explain to a lot of the fans that are just coming around why you're losing your Stanley Cup goaltender. That's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of these newer Hawk fans. Unfortunately, it's just, it's also business. The situation that they put themselves in to win the Cup, which they did. And in my opinion, with the signing of Turco and at the dollar figure, with that deep in the firm, I don't think they're any worse off with Marty Turco than they are with Antti Niemi.
Yeah, again, I've been stuffing my head over this one since I read David Haas' column, because I just, again, the Blackhawks offered that contract, if that's real, and again, it could have been something they floated to save face publicly here. That's entirely possible too. Maybe they never actually had that offer on the table to him, because I look at that and that's something, you know, at 3 years, at that money, that's good money, especially for a Finnish guy. That's good money, and at the end of it, he'd be 29 and a UFA. Whereas he's 26 now, so he'd be a 29-year-old UFA goaltender with 3 full seasons under his belt, presumably. Again, this year's Blackhawks, I look at like I did the 2008-2009 Blackhawks. I think that they're very good. They're gonna press and they're gonna scare teams. But at the end of the day, they're spare parts. They're supporting cast. It's too young, too inexperienced, and just like we saw, they're gonna need that year. The Blackhawks went into the playoffs this year they were loaded and they had no fear. And they don't have that this time around. Yes, they've got nearly their whole defense back. They've got a hole in that sixth spot, which is big, because their fifth defenseman isn't someone that is necessarily reliable. So they have a third defensive unit right now that's, you know, it's not good. So you have that, you know, to be concerned about. You've got Kyle Beach, Victor Stahlberg, Jack Skilly. I mean, these are your support players now, and I don't know how that's going to work out. So I look at this. This is a coming of age year again, and that's fine. They're still going to be very, very good. They could very well sneak into the finals again. I just don't think that. I'm not predicting that, but I wouldn't be surprised because they are so loaded up on the top end with talent. But to me, like, for Niemi to be here this year, he'd have a good year if you prorate him over what he did last year. The fact that he improved in the playoffs, you know, which is something that I don't think you can go back and look at his regular season numbers, because he really proved himself in the playoffs that he was composed. His weaknesses weren't exploited. In fact, he closed up some of those weaknesses during the playoffs. And they weren't as evident, and they were rare. His moments, his uh-oh moments, were few and far between. And you know, as the playoffs went along, they got better and better and better. So I think that if he would have stayed here, had another good year this year, and then he could have been on the next run at the Cup, which in my opinion will be 2011-2012. That should be a great team. Not this year, but the following year should be a great team. And I would expect, you know, health, granted, you got to be healthy. But I would expect that the Blackhawks are going to either win or be in another Stanley Cup final in 2012. Niemi could be a part of that again. And then he'd have that final year, and then he could go UFA with a much bigger resume and get more, you know, more money then. Whereas now he's gambled enormously. He could end up on a team like the Islanders, where his numbers are bound to be bad or not be favorable in the UFA market. And I think he probably, in the long run, I think he cost himself money, if in fact that 3 years and $8 million is true. This is between Brian Bickle's agent and Bill Zito's handling of Antti Niemi's summer. Not been a good year for Blackhawks agents. No. All right, so I asked John the Fifth Feather this last week. I'll ask you this time, Superstar. With all the changes that are now set, how do you feel? Is this what are the chances of a repeat? Forget about what I said. What are the chances of a repeat? And what about this team concerns you the most?
Well. People always say the Stanley Cup is the hardest cup to win. I think it's even harder to hold on to after you've won it. I tend to agree with you. I think they'll be a very good team. They'll probably win the division again. I mean, obviously it's a very tough division, but they should win the division. If not, they'll should have home ice in the playoffs. Yeah, we're talking playoffs. It's only August. But I don't know if they're strong enough to win on the road in the playoffs, you know, you figure you're going to have to go through Detroit, San Jose, and or Vancouver again. You're going to have to win a couple of those games on the road. I don't know if this team has the experience. I don't, like you, would it shock me if they were to make it back to the finals? No. You know, I think this team could. Do I think this team should? No. I see a semi-decent, you know, maybe a conference finals loss, come back the following year and contend again. I'm worried about the goaltending. Obviously, Marty Turco is a pretty solid resume. You know, a couple all-star selections. He's, you know, been pretty solid in the league for a long time, but he's not young. You know, is he going to hold up? He's pretty durable, but it worries me a little bit. I want to say that if he's on his game, stays healthy, plays the way he should, you know, like I said, that defense in front of him, I don't think you're going to need Marty Turco to win you many games. A lot like last year, I think the Hawks are just going to outscore people. But I do think that that could be a little bit of a weakness on this team.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I think that Marty Turco was brought in as the veteran, and he'll carry the mail if Corey Crawford isn't capable of you know, getting in there and doing basically repeating what Niemi did this year. I think that that's the reason why they allowed Niemi to go. I don't see any other reasonable explanation of letting Antti Niemi walk other than you feel that Corey Crawford can do the same thing, provided that Marty Turco, because I believe the situation with Turco is eerily similar to what you had with Cristobal Ua. You have a goaltender that, yeah, he has a resume, but he's 35 years old now, and he's had two bad seasons in a row. Did he have great teams in front of him? No, maybe not, but he still had two bad seasons in a row. And as much as you may want to think that he'll be, you know, much better behind Duncan Keith and Seabrook and Jalmerson and Campbell, I don't know that to be the case. Plus, you also have to consider Marty Turco is a goaltender, and I was having this discussion with someone the other day. Marty Turco is a goaltender that, you know, it's interesting that he's the best puck handler in the game as far as goaltenders is concerned. And you would think, like, oh, that'll make the Blackhawks so much better. I don't know that that's necessarily the case because the Blackhawks' whole game is based on, you know, those defensemen gaining speed through, you know, in their own zone, hitting the defensive blue line with speed, and then moving that puck through the neutral zone so everybody's moving together. If everybody's standing in the neutral zone waiting for – not that this is going to happen every rush, but it's an aspect to think about. If everyone's standing still in the neutral zone waiting for Marty Turco to pass them the puck, that's not the Blackhawks game. That's not – you know, that's not how they utilize their, you know, their most important attribute, which is their speed. And I think that Marty Turco will have the reins pulled on him and be told, hey, you know, pick your spots, and you know, he'll be sat down, and it'll basically be outlined for him which scenarios, or this is what I would do if I was a coach, which scenarios that he's to come out and play the puck. Because otherwise, why do you have Brian Campbell back there? Most of the time when you have goaltenders that are prolific with the puck and they come out, you know, into the corner to play the puck and all this kind of stuff, it's because their defensemen aren't good enough to come back and handle it themselves. So you're going to have to take that instinct almost away from Marty Turco so it doesn't cause problems. And I could see that being a growing pain. And the last thing Marty Turco needs in front of the meathead contingent at the United Center is October growing pains, because that's what killed Cristobal Ua last year. And then it'll be entirely up to Corey Crawford. I don't think you can count on riding that horse 2 years in a row with the backup goaltender, the kid coming up and having, you know, a huge rookie season. I don't think you can ride that 2 years in a row.
I it's a very great point by you as far as the moving of the puck and being able to have a goaltender with attributes that are going to, stay with your game. The other big thing, and I obviously it almost annoys me when people say this, but a big, big, big key to this team is going to be staying healthy. I mean, obviously you lose one of the big guns, that is always going to hurt you, but just overall team health from top to bottom, I think is going to be a big key this year.
Right. I was taking a tea break. All right, before we get into the mailbag here briefly, we're not going to stay on too much longer tonight, but I want to point a few things out. Of course, we were going to be on yesterday, and we missed a few of these things. You know, Elvis died, 33 years ago yesterday, right, Superstar?
I did not know that.
Elvis died before you and I were even alive.
He did.
And we're old.
We are old.
Older than most of the other people that are on the internet, except for Forklift.
Yeah, well, I mean, that guy's real. I don't know about you, Block. I've been following the Zsa Zsa Gabor, make sure she's still alive. I'm not sure if she was part of the celebrity death pool, but we can't be any other people.
I am glad that you brought this up. Did you hear about what happened to Tila Tequila over the weekend?
Yes, I did. I was the one person in the world yelling, kill the bitch.
Superstar, if you go back in the Third Man In Radio archives, we did a show one time, and we recapped our this would have been in early February, probably. We recapped our celebrity death pool. And Superstar picked an ensemble cast that included Hulk Hogan and Tila Tequila. And this past weekend, I guess the Insane Clown Posse still exists. And I know that they still exist. Yeah, because they're involved in they're actually not only are they pro wrestling fans and actual performers, but they actually promote pro wrestling on a small independent basis. But they had the gathering of the Juggalos was this weekend, and apparently Tila Tequila has some sort of an issue with the Insane Clown Posse. So what did Tila Tequila decide to do? She decided to go to the Insane Clown Posse Juggalo rally over the weekend in, where was it, Rock, Illinois? Where the heck is that?
I saw that it was in Illinois, and I don't remember the exact town. But
it's got to be on, I saw some of these people, it's got to be on the Indiana border. It has to be.
Yeah,
no offense to our neighbors to the east. But these look like some hickish people. But
probably if your thoughts are right, it's probably about 50-60 miles south of Kankakee.
But so Tila Tequila, I don't know who thought that this would be a good idea. These if you've ever listened to the Insane Clown Posse's music, like anybody that follows them and listens to that music is insane. So they put Tila Tequila up on a stage to address the Juggalos. And they start throwing beer bottles at her. They're throwing, what were they throwing? I read it. I know they doused her with piss.
Yeah. I guess there was a huge rock that was thrown up and it hit her right in the face.
And Superstar said, damn, that guy, I wish that guy would have better aim.
Well, you
basically, that would have clinched that probably clinched the death pool for you right there.
That would have. And, it was, supposedly she got off the stage and made it back into her trailer. And the they were rocking and breaking the windows of her trailer, and they smashed the windows of her SUV as she tried to get away. And, like I said, I mean, I don't wish death upon anybody, but.
Except Tila Tequila.
Yeah, Superstar has to pay for a wedding, so, Tila dying would have been a pretty good step into winning the death pool and that jackpot.
Yeah, and I don't wish anything upon anybody either, but Eddie Olczyk's birthday was yesterday, Superstar.
Where'd you get him?
You know what? I was unavailable most of yesterday, so I was not able to make it to the store to get Edzo anything. But Eddie Olczyk turned 44, Mr. Conflict of Interest, Eddie Olczyk, 44. Today, Troy Brower turns 25. Congratulations to the young man. And former Blackhawk and now the coach, Nelson Emerson, turned 43. Ron Chico Mackey, also born on the 17th of August. I know you remember this one yet. It was 14 years ago yesterday, superstar, that the Blackhawks traded Jeremy Roenick to the Phoenix Coyotes for Alex Jamnoff and Craig Mills. You remember Craig Mills?
I do.
Had the audacity to wear 27 when he got here.
That was a very sad day, and you know, for a lot of Blackhawk fans, especially not all Blackhawk fans, but especially guys, you know, around our age who grew up going to the stadium, following JR pretty much all the way through his career, and I think we all kind of knew it was coming, but still a sad day nonetheless.
You know, I want to make this point because, you know, on principle, what the Blackhawks did on that day was justifiable if you were trying to side with their argument. And what they were saying was Jeremy Roenick and the style that he played, which at the, you know, at that age is very much like Alex Ovechkin does now. Not quite the level of player that Alex Ovechkin is, but that's basically what Jeremy Roenick was, playing that reckless abandon, physical style, throwing his body around. He was starting to get pretty beat up even at that young age and only being, you know, had been in the league at, you know, 7-8 years to that point. But their, you know, their thought was they were going to bring in this guy, Alex Jamnoff, who would make the people around him better, which in hindsight is a joke. But that was their thought. And really what they ended up doing was tearing the heart and soul out of the team. And it took, you know, it then took another 11 years for the Blackhawks to recover. And it wasn't until, I mean, they didn't get that heart back until they drafted Jonathan Toews. So, you know, it just goes to show that even though you look at all these moves that the Blackhawks have made and you say, yeah, they got to do that for the salary cap, and yeah, you look at it on paper, you know, but how much does that loss of Dustin Byfuglien mean? How much does that loss of Andrew Ladd mean? And not that they didn't have to make some of those moves. But you never truly know what the effect is going to be until they get out there on the ice. And, you know, even myself, who was, you know, a huge Jeremy Roenick fan then and still am to this day, I thought that with, you know, that Jamnoff, with the right pieces around him, could be, well, I didn't think he was Roenick's level, just purely because of competitiveness. But he could be a good player, and he could make the Blackhawks better in a way. And it didn't turn out to be that way at all because he, you know, you lost the heart and soul of your team. And it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this year plays out, see if the Blackhawks did indeed lose the heart and soul of their team with all the moves that they made. All right, I want to get a few of these emails in, and then we're going to get out of here. First of all, question here. Maybe you can help me answer this one, superstar. Question here from Mike. He wants to know if we're going to be doing another third man in Fantasy Hockey League this year.
I would assume so.
Yeah, we're gonna do the league again. I don't know that we're gonna do the draft party.
Yeah, I think we'll skip the draft party unless we have firm commitments by everyone.
Yeah. I'm going to set up a PayPal account so if people don't show up, it'll cost them money.
Yeah. You know, for the lack of a third man in fantasy hockey party that we had last year, you and I still had a blast.
It was good. I mean, a few people showed up, and there was people who were there that didn't announce their presence until they walked out. But no, I mean, it was, I would do it. I just logistically, I was, when I read this email, I went and looked at the calendar. Logistically, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. Other than, I would suggest that if we are going to do an actual live draft this year, that it has to be during or the day of afternoon of a Bears game. Because that was the other way we went wrong. But yeah, Mike, definitely. I'll in the coming weeks, I'll put something on, up on the site about people getting in touch with me, so I can get their information and have them included when everything gets set up and we have the third man in Fantasy Hockey League year two ready to roll. Okay. This here. Hi, Chris. My wife and I listen to the show all the time. We're huge Hawks fans and been season ticket holders for a while now. Just wondering. See, this is funny. Can't believe it. People actually have these thoughts. We're having a heated debate. What nationality are you? It's a jump ball.
Wow. That
it's not. Actually, I don't actually know. I don't think there's concrete records that tell definitively what I am.
I think you chalked that one up to I'm a mutt. Get over it.
Mutt. Now what I've always thought I've been is Italian, German, and Swedish. Because they go on to say here, I guess it's something about some like the way that I speak or things that I say. They thought I was Polish. You know, I want to – superstar. I watched Schindler's List over the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, now, I'm not a Jew, but I live in a predominantly Polish area, and – after watching Schindler's List again, I feel uncomfortable about living in this area.
And being German.
Yeah, and being German. I'm surrounded by a bunch of, you know, because the Poles, they hate the Jews.
Well, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, I actually spent the better part of my Saturday afternoon watching Schindler's List.
It's
a good one. But that's the way it happens. Okay, here. This is from a while ago. I don't know if I ever returned this or not. This is from the UK, superstar. How about that? I know the UK
pretty
well. Yeah. Says he's been a Blackhawks fan for over 23 years now. Just would like to know what the hell is happening at the UC. I know the salary cap was going to be a bit of a headache, but every time I click on the NHL site, another player seems to exit the door, and I just shake my head. Who's next? I've waited 15 years or so for the Hawks to once again be competitive. Basically, are these guys ready to come up and fill in? I hope you can assure – I'm sorry, I'm reading this again. It's a little bit long. I hope you can assure me on this matter. Spoons. Well, Spoons, as far as are these guys ready to come up, I mean, we're going to see. I think Jake Dowell is fine in the slot that he's going to be in, which is the fourth line center. That's fine. And, Colin Frazier started to come into his own, but I don't see Colin Frazier as anything more than a fourth line center. And for what you ask a fourth line center to do, Jake Dowell do fine. It remains to be seen. I mean, the Blackhawks are losing, if they're not replacing Adam Burrish with, you know, a bit of a tyrant, a guy who can skate, because that's one thing that you got to say about Adam Burrish is he could skate and he could get around the ice and he can be, an energy guy. I don't know that the Blackhawks have really replaced Adam Burrish right now. And we make fun of Adam Burrish all the time, but that is something during the regular season that you're going to need. And I don't know that they've replaced him just yet. Jack Skilly, I'm not a big Jack Skilly fan. I think that, but this is his chance. You know, he could either replace – my thing is you'd either see Jack Skilly play well enough that he's a reasonable replacement for Chris Versteeg, or Jack Skilly's going to be in Rockford by Thanksgiving. It's going to be one of those two. Victor Stahlberg, I can't see a scenario where it's January or February and Blackhawks fans adore Victor Stahlberg. I just don't see it. Yes, he's got a decent pair of hands. Yes, he skates really fast, but that doesn't make a hockey player. And the Blackhawks are gonna have to instill something in that guy that's not currently been shown. It wasn't, you know, that it wasn't there in Toronto. This is a guy that, yeah, he played a bunch of games in Toronto last year, but he was up and down from the Marlies to the Leafs. And, you know, size, you know, you don't want to predetermine a guy or, you know, a guy that's 6'4" that doesn't throw his body around. You know, not everybody is capable of throwing their body around all the time. But if you're going to be 6'4", you're going to get played tough. That's just the fact of the matter. So you have to be tough. And I don't know that Victor Stahlberg's tough. And that's a concern. So I don't know. Kyle Beach, I know that people think they've got these visions in their head of Kyle Beach running around and mowing people over. That's not Kyle Beach's game. Kyle Beach is a cheap shot artist. He's a guy that lurks in the shadows and he catches you from behind. He's an antagonist. He's a little punk out there. He's very much like Gino Cicerelli. And I, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that fits in here. But I'm sure at the beginning of the season he's going to be running around because he wants them in a training camp because he wants to make the team. He wants to, you know, secure his place on the roster. So you'll see a bit of that, and then people will be like, Block, you're a fucking idiot. You're wrong, you know. Well, no, over the course of the season, I think you'll see what Kyle Beach has to offer. And he's more of a guy that floats to space on the ice and waits to be set up, you know, for a shot. And that's great, but he better score, and there better be a little bit more jam to his game than there is cheap. You know, because that's more or less his game. And he fights, but he likes to fight guys that are 4 inches shorter than he is. That's his MO. So that's Kyle Beach. So Spoons, I can't say that I have a lot of nice thoughts about or predictions about what these guys are bringing to the table, but, you know, who knows? We shall see. All right, Superstar, let's get out of here. I've got some things to do tonight. I'm sure you do as well.
Of course.
All right, I'm going to be back either with Superstar or with a special guest or maybe both. Probably Monday the 23rd, but I'm going to try to confirm this one way or another. It's kind of up in the air. It's up to the guest. But the 23rd or the 24th, and then we'll be back again the following week. Of course, again, I'm on Hockey Night's podcast, hockeynight.com, on Monday night, August 30th. And then I'll also do my own show that week, and we'll see who will be with me here in the next couple of days. But that's it for this week. Thank you very much, Superstar, for joining me.
Anytime, buddy. Just let me know if and when I'm needed, and I'll be here.
All right. Well, thanks for coming back after last night's. For anybody that was listening live with us last night, that was quite. I'm sure it was entertaining in an odd way.
Yeah, it had to have been, and I think the message I sent you right after was spot on. Epic fail.
Yeah, it was. Long story short, on my end, my mics were in and out, and I changed. I changed the phone. I changed over, and nothing was seeming to work. So we scrapped the show. But hopefully everything went well tonight. And again. Check the website or just this blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin. Monday or Tuesday of next week, we'll be back. And thanks to everybody for joining us, and we will talk to you next time. Good night, everybody.